YDI group of NA in Indiana.
I'm an addict named Alex.
Hey, Alex.
First off, I'd like to thank the committee for asking me to come out here and speak tonight. It's always an honor and a privilege to be able to give back what NA has given to me. You know, share a little bit of my experience with everybody here. My clean date is January 3rd, 2016. I love these picnics. You know what I mean? I got clean in winter. Winter kind of sucked, but, you know, once spring rolled around and we started having these picnics and these events, man, like, this is where it's at for me, you know, getting to hang out with people, getting to see people I don't usually see. You know, whenever I was in addiction, man, any social gathering that I would go to, I had to be fucked up. You know, had to be. And the ability today, especially early on, for me to, like, realize that, like, I can go out and socialize with people and build these meaningful relationships, and I could do it clean. You know, that was powerful for me. You know, it gave me a lot of hope coming to these events. So I guess I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story, you know, what happened, how I got here, and, you know, what it's like today. I was born in Blairsville, Pennsylvania. Small town, bottom part of Indiana County. Wasn't a whole lot going on there, you know, it's just your typical small town. I was born to basically a single mom. My dad was in the picture for like 6 months, and then she decided to remove him from my life, which was the best decision she could have made. You know, my biological father suffers from the disease of addiction and severe mental health. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because it's pertinent to the story. You know what I mean? So, like, growing up as a kid, my mom kind of, we never had a lot of money, but we always had enough. Like, I was fed. My mom later remarried whenever I was four, five-ish. And I always struggled to like accept my stepfather. You know what I mean? Like, I always kind of kept him at arm's length. I never considered him a parent whenever I was a kid, you know? And later on, like, you know, we had some disagreements and he wasn't, and then they got divorced whenever I was 13. And then my mom was, you know, back to being a single mom. My relationship with my stepfather today is incredible. You know what I mean? I don't even consider him a stepfather. I consider him my father. And I owe that entirely to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. But I'll get into that. So, you know, like I said, growing up, small town, pretty typical of anybody else's story. You know what I mean? I started drinking, like, 12, 13 years old, started smoking weed, you know, and then that kind of progressed. It was never like a daily thing until like about, you know, 17 or 18 years old, I was like smoking weed every day, you know. You know, I really had nothing to complain about. Like, I got along with everybody in school. Like, I knew how to fit into groups. I never had much self-acceptance, you know, growing up. I always felt like I needed to, like I was missing something, or like I needed to fit in with these people, you know what I mean? I sought that validation through other people. And I don't want to say that, like, fed my addiction, because, like, what fed my addiction was me, man. Like, that's how it is for me. Like, I'm an addict. Like, I don't have to explain why I'm an addict. I don't have to, like, justify why I'm an addict. I don't have to psychoanalyze why I'm an addict. I know for me that, like, whenever I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, like, I felt at home. You know, I related to what you people said. and that was okay. Like, it doesn't matter what or how much we used, who your connections were, what you've done in the past. The only thing that matters is what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. Like, that made me feel welcome. That made me feel accepted here. So yeah, man, like, my using, I got clean at 22, I'll say that. Like, I got clean at 22, and from, like, 18 to 22 was miserable for me. You know, it was absolutely miserable. Like, it stopped being fun as soon as I went to college. You know, as crazy as that sounds, like, it stopped being fun because, like, I didn't have, like, my mom looking over my shoulder anymore. And so, like, it got pretty dark pretty quick. And there was no off switch for me ever. So, like, we all know where that goes, you know? I bounced around to a couple different colleges, held some jobs here and there, never lived on my own unless I was, like, at college for a brief stint. And then I wound up back in Blairsville at my mom's house, like, barely keeping jobs. You know, I would hold a job for a little bit, and then, you know, I just stopped showing up because that was my MO. Like, I'd get paid, it would be cool for a while. I would like fuck up real bad, you know, and like miss work a couple days, and then like the guilt and shame of that, I think, just like, I was like, well, I can't show my face there anymore, so I'm just gonna quit, you know? And like that has been my MO too, man. It's like, I've always been a runner because the fear, you know, the fear of what you think of me, the fear of, you know, yeah, what you think of me. Like, that is it, man. Honestly, like, I cared way too much about what people thought of me, you know, always. And that's been a blessing that this program's given me too, is like, I have some self-acceptance today. Like, I'm cool with who I am. And what you think about me, man, I can either take it or leave it. And I don't say that to sound like a dick. That's the truth. You know what I mean? And that saved me a ton of hassle. It saved me a ton of, like, resentments. It saved me a ton of anger. You know what I mean? Life's a whole lot simpler whenever I just, like, don't care what you think about me. You know? It really is. So anyways, the end of my road. I got kicked out of my mom's house. All of my friends from school, like high school, had moved out of this town. So like, I was just hanging out with like two guys that like were also still in that small town. And we were all, you know, we were just like trying to keep up with each other, basically. And it, like I said, it wasn't fun at all, you know? So anyways, I got kicked out. These guys weren't going to let me stay with them, so I was, like, in a jackpot, man. It was the end of December, like, right around Christmas time. Right before Christmas, actually. My mom kicked me out, and I bounced, like, I didn't have anywhere to go. I tried, like, sleeping under a bridge in, like, my hunting suit, made a fire. It lasted one night, you know what I mean? And I went back to my mom's house the next morning, and she's like, I was like, Mom, can you like let me in? It's cold out, you know? And she said that the only way that she would let me back in is if I agreed to go to treatment and get help. And, you know, I thought that was absurd because, like, I wasn't at a point in my life where I accepted that I had a problem. And so, but anyways, I agreed, you know, just to, like, get inside. I agreed to, like, you know, oh, all right, I'll go to treatment. And then those, like, 2 weeks around, like, Christmas into New Year's, those 2 weeks were a blur. You know, I went off the deep end. I, like, basically disappeared, stayed a week at fucking IUP, and that was terrible. And anyways, I wound up back at my mom's house on January 1st. It was New Year's Day. And that was the day that we scheduled the assessment for, you know, for me to go to treatment. And went to do that. I used again on the 2nd. And then I went to treatment on the 3rd. And my treatment experience is probably like everybody else's. The facility I went to was new at the time, so like there was a lot of flexibility. There wasn't a whole lot of structure, really. It was what I needed at the time, you know. I'm a firm believer in, like, my higher power putting people and putting places in my life that are going to help me. You know what I mean? I just have to be willing to embrace them and accept them. You know, it's all up to me, really. So I go to this facility. My insurance ran out. I think I was only approved for like 21 days, and my insurance ran out. And by that time, I didn't accept that I was an addict. You know, I still wasn't there. I wasn't at that point in my life, you know. But I started like meeting people there and talking to people, and you know, I'd hear their stories, and I was like very focused on the differences and not the similarities, you know, because I'm like a 22-year-old kid in this treatment facility. Like, I didn't do a whole lot of the things that these guys were doing, you know, for being real. And so anyways, I knew though that like if I left after 21 days, I was going to go back to my mom's house. I was going to go back to Blairsville. And I knew deep down, I knew it was going to get bad again, you know. And so I asked for help, you know, I said a prayer. I didn't really know what I was praying to. My relationship with my higher power at that time it wasn't good, you know what I mean? I just didn't have any faith at all. I didn't have any hope. But I said that prayer, and the next morning I was told that they were going to scholarship me. You know what I mean? They were just going to pay my way. And that was like one of the first times that my higher power showed up and was like, here, this is your shot. You know what I mean? And so after that, man, I had a little bit of hope. I was like, all right, well, this is cool, you know? And so like I talked to some of the people who worked there, man. They were like, they were helpful, you know? Like they were in recovery. A lot of them were members of NA. And that was good, man. And they talked to me. They shared their experience with me. They told me about NA. And I was like, you know what? Maybe this is going to work for me. H&I came in while I was in there. Again, like, that was a huge thing because, like, the staff, yeah, they said they're in NA, but, like, they could be lying to me. You know what I mean? Like, they could just be bullshitting me because they have ulterior motives because they work there. You know, but this guy, like, coming in from the outside, I don't know him. You know, they carry a message and... Man, like it moved me. It was very moving for me to hear that because, like, I could tell that he wasn't bullshitting. You know, and we have, as addicts, I feel like we have a keen sense of whenever somebody's, like, telling the truth or not. You know, we have to, you know, in order to, like, get by when we're, you know, out there. We have to be able to, like, read people. And this guy was being honest, you know? So anyways, I get out of this facility. And I stayed for fucking forever, man. I was there for like 114 days, I think. And, you know, whatever. It was good. It was exactly what I needed at the time, you know. I move into this three-quarter house. And there's not a whole lot of structure there. But everything that happened was exactly the way it was supposed to happen. I go there and... I start doing my 90 and 90, you know, I get a sponsor right away. I call him every single day. That's what he told me to do. He's like, call me every single day, go to a meeting every day for 90 days. You know, I thought that was crazy, but you know, by that point in my recovery, you know, I had accepted the fact that I was an addict. You know, I did. Maybe I wasn't like completely on board with the NA thing, but like I realized like I had put everything in my, you know, I analyzed my life to this point, and I realized that like whenever I put a substance in my body, I cannot stop, you know, and whenever I cannot stop, my life becomes unmanageable, and all the baggage that comes with that, you know. So like I knew that deep down, and I was introduced to NA. So I get this sponsor. I start going to meetings. I get a home group. Man, I got like the best fucking group, home group in Narcotics Anonymous. I showed up and like I didn't like plan it out or anything. Like I had been to that meeting before a couple times while I was in treatment. Because back then, you know, you, like they would take you to outside meetings while you're in treatment before COVID, which is, you know, that was cool. So, like I'd been to all these meetings already around town, and I still hadn't decided like which one was the one, you know. But I go to this meeting, and they're like, you know, if anybody wants to stick around afterwards, we're gonna have a group conscience. We really need help. Like we're looking for active home group members. For whatever reason, like I was like, yeah, I'll stick around. And so I sit down. We do this group conscience, and they're explaining how it works. And Rich was like, he's like, hey, will you do you have the willingness to go to area? Or he's like, do you have the willingness to be our GSR? I said, I don't know. I guess I don't know what it is. What's it about? He's like, well, you know, you just show up, you represent our home group at this service committee. And he's like, you have a car, right? And I said, yeah, I can get there. He said, do you have the willingness? I said, yeah, I have the willingness. And then he's like, well, we just lost our old secretary, and she was a key holder. Would you be willing to hold the key for this home group and open up every week? I was like, I'm like straight fresh out of treatment, you know, like seriously fresh out of treatment. Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to, you know, and I thought that was so strange because like somebody willing to put like that level of trust in me, that was absurd. Nobody ever trusted me with anything. You know, my mom would like hide her purse. She would lock me out of the house. You know, whenever I would like leave and wouldn't come back like before midnight, like she'd lock the doors, you know? So like the thing about like somebody trusting me to open up this meeting every week, it was crazy. But I tell you what, man, like that that helped save my life, I want to think. You know, I believe that firmly. I believe that because like 6 to 9 months clean, you know, I'd finished my 90 and 90. I was, you know, it was towards the end. It was like September, October-ish. We'd done all these retreats. I'd gone to all these events. Like I was feeling real good, you know, and something happened. I don't know what it was. Like I had changed jobs, and the job I was working, like they ran out of work, right? So I was like kind of in between jobs at that point, and I had started this new job, which I wasn't sure if I liked it or not, but I was fucking depressed, man. Like, and I couldn't really identify that as what I was at the time, but like looking back now, I know that I was depressed. So anyways, I wasn't calling my sponsor, I wasn't going to any other meetings except for my home group, because I had the key. And I had to open up my home group, you know. And honest to God, like, that kept me going. Like, that kept me showing up. I didn't really want to be there, man. I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to, like, fucking do anything, you know. But, like, I showed up in my home group. And eventually I started talking about, like, what was going on, you know. Because that fear was still, it was there, you know. I was, like, felt like the walls were closing in with fear. I didn't know what I was gonna do. I didn't know, like, I didn't want to admit that what was going on because I felt like I would be judged, you know, all this stuff. And I had a roommate at the time. I'd moved out of the three-quarter house, and I had a roommate at the time. And he took the time, because he knew what was going on, you know. Obviously, like, I didn't have money coming in, so he was a little concerned about rent. But that's besides the fact, like, he like sat down with me and was like, hey man, like what's going on with you? You know, you want to talk? And I did, you know, and like, I didn't talk to my sponsor about what was going on. I didn't talk to anybody. I talked to him. And you know, after just like spilling my guts about what I was feeling and what was going on, you know, I felt better. I felt a little bit better, just a little bit. He gave me this book. He's like, this book's really helpful if you want to read it. It's not NA literature, but it was like the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People or something like that. I started reading this book. I was like, whatever, you know. I don't know if it helped or not, but like I think it was just the action of like doing something productive that was helpful for me at the time. So anyways, you know, like the reason I went into all that was just like my home group. You know, I love my home group. I owe my home group my life. I owe this program my life. My home group's changed a lot since I got clean, man. And like, I always think change is bad, but change isn't always bad. Change is just change, you know? Whether it's good or bad, that's up to you, like, or up to me, I guess. So like, this program has given me the ability to accept myself, you know? Like I said early on, like growing up, I had no self-acceptance whatsoever. And the only reason why like I can accept myself today is because I've worked some steps with my sponsor, you know? You know, step one is all about acceptance. It's all about honesty. It's all about surrender, you know? And I learned these principles with a sponsor, you know, he had me define them and, you know, we talked about it. We talked about how I was applying these principles in my daily life. And that's what it's all about, really. You know what I mean? Because, like, I can do all the homework. I can, like, write all the definitions. I can talk a good game in meetings. Like, I can tell you all about the steps. But, like, what am I doing with them? You know, am I practicing them in my life? Am I being a good dude? Am I not being a scumbag today? Am I being honest? Am I showing up to the things that I say I'm going to show up to? You know, there was a spiritual principle of day book. We read it on Wednesday, and it was about like taking on too many commitments. Not about taking on too many commitments, but that's what it was about. Basically. And like when I had like a year and a half clean, man, I was like doing all the commitments and like I was so overextended, you know? So this process too has been about like learning when to say no and learning how to, you know, to judge like what's right for me, you know? You know, and there's been plenty of times in my life where like I felt like I was at a crossroads, you know, and I didn't know what to do. But like the training of this program has kicked in, like, you know, when shit hits the fan, like I call my sponsor, I go to a meeting, you know, I pray about it. And prayer's a weird thing for me, man, because like I really can't define my higher power, but like a prayer for me is like asking for help, you know, just like putting it out there to the universe, like, hey man, I need some guidance, you know, I don't know what to do. Do you like put something in my life that's gonna like help me, you know, or that I can learn from? And yeah, like that's what this program's taught me to do, you know. I got married in this program, you know, like I never thought that was gonna happen, you know, ever really. Like, who would want to be with me, you know? Whenever I came into these rooms, seriously, man, like, my self-esteem was crushed. You know, I had no sense of self-worth. I thought I was the biggest piece of shit on this planet, honest to God. You know what I mean? And, like, doing the things in this program, like, taking these commitments and showing up regularly, like, slowly but surely, like, it built that back. It built that sense of self-worth back. You know what I mean? Like, you guys built me up. You guys taught me how to be a man, taught me how to show up and be honest and be true to my word and all these things that, like, I knew were the right thing to do growing up as a kid. Like, I was taught these things, but just, you know, through addiction, man, they fell off, you know. But so anyways, I got married to my beautiful wife, and I'm so grateful, You know, I'm so grateful for the life I have today. You know, she, we have a daughter who's amazing, truly amazing. The fact that she would, like, trust me to, like, be in her daughter's life when we got married, I don't know why at the time. Like, still at the time, I was like, are you trusting me? You know, but it's a blessing. You know what I mean? It's an absolute blessing, even though sometimes it's very difficult. It's very difficult sometimes. Because she's 15 years old. You know, that's enough said there. She's 15 years old. It's difficult. Yeah, man, like, I've been on this journey, and, you know, I've got a house today. I've changed jobs a couple times. You know, I did the whole, like, working in treatment thing for a while, and, like, that was what I needed at the time because, like, I don't know, because it's what happened, so that's what I needed at the time. I'll never judge anybody on anything that they do for employment. Like, fuck it, you're working great, you know? Go for it. You know, you're a productive member of society. Working in treatment, man, like, it just wasn't for me. You know, that was like a crossroads I came to. I said, you know, this is really stressing me out. I'm not making great money. Like, I think I need to make a change, you know? And I, like, took a leap of faith, and I, you know, started this job with these plumbers and learned a whole lot of stuff about construction, and then now I'm working in a hospital in the maintenance department. I love it. Like, it's like, I felt like I arrived, you know? I got this job. It's like a union job. Like, I plan on retiring from this place. You know what I mean? I'm 29 years old, and I'm like, I'm at the job right now that I think I'm gonna retire from, you know? I don't know, man. Recently, so, like, I was talking about my biological father, right, earlier, I mentioned him, right? So whenever I got clean, I decided that I was going to develop this relationship with this man, because he really wasn't ever a part of my life whenever I was a teenager or a kid. So I get clean, and I'm like, I got a call. I was in treatment. I was like, I got to call him, you know, and, like, tell him what's up. So I did, and, like, I get out, and he's a mess, you know. He's, like, he's an absolute mess, which, you know, I get it. But so anyways, I, like, convince him to go to treatment, and he goes, and he gets clean, and then he relapses, and he gets clean, and he relapses, and, you know, and I go through this process with him of, like, kind of like my mom was with me, you know what I mean? Like, I would, like, hover, and I would be, like, I would overextend myself, and I would have no boundaries, and I'd be, like, I need you to, like, do this, or, like, this is what you need to do, and I got, like, way too invested, you know? And every time he would use it, like, crushed me, you know? I'd be, like, I'm fucking failing. You know, it's kind of like a sponsee, you know what I mean? Like, I have had sponsees over the years, and, like, I get over invested, and then they use, and it's, like, I take it as an insult to me, or, like, it's not an insult to me, but, like, it's like, I'm not good enough, you know, like, I'm failing, right? It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the person, you know? Like, these are some of the lessons, man, that, like, that I've learned along, that I've had to learn along the way, the hard way, you know? So recently, right, my biological father, Jeff, he's been, like I said, he's very mentally ill. He calls me all the time, like three times a day, calls, leaves me these voicemails. And I never know, like, what he's going to talk about, so I always listen to him, you know, like, is he okay, whatever. But I'm talking to my wife about it, I'm talking to other people about it, I'm like, this is making me crazy. You know what I mean? The only time he ever calls is, like, when he needs something. You know, he's always asking me to do things. And when I don't do these things, he badmouths me. You know what I mean? He's abusive to me. He's abusive to, like, my mother. He says bad things about my mom. You know? I'm like, I'm fucking done with this guy, you know? And I felt like I owed him. You know, like, I owe him to, like, be there for him. You know, but I talked to people. I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, it's making my life crazy, you know, having him as part of my life, but I'm the only person he has, you know, so what do I do? Because he doesn't talk to anybody else, he's no other family, really. And I made this decision, man, I made this decision. I called him earlier this week. It'd been fucking me up for a while, you know, I've just been, like, living with it, not knowing what to do. But I called him, I said, listen, I need you to stop calling me. Like, I told him why. I said, like we've never had a relationship. Like, basically, we had a hard conversation. It was a hard conversation to have. But it ended up being like, you're not a part of my life anymore. You know, and I had to cut him out. And I still, like, I don't know if it was the right thing to do or not. I really don't. But, like, I felt better after the fact, you know. I felt, like, a sense of relief and a sense of peace. I don't know why I told you guys all that, but it felt like I needed to tell you that. So yeah. I did, you know. I don't know. How am I doing on time? I don't know. I love this program. I love the love of this program. Let me talk about that for a little bit, man. Like, whenever I got here, I was fully accepted, you know, even though I felt like I shouldn't have been, you know. Like, I was 22 years old. There weren't many 22-year-olds around in these rooms whenever I showed up. A couple more showed up after the fact, you know, it was cool. But, like... I felt accepted. Like, you guys made me feel welcome here. You guys made me feel at home here. Like, you guys would invite me to go out to eat. You guys would invite me to hang out at your houses. You guys would invite me to, like, watch the football game. You know, all these things, man. And which is scary for new people. You know what I mean? If you're new and you're showing up here, like, stay. If you've never been introduced to this fellowship before, stay. Like... this is where it's at. This program has saved my life. So, like, the love of this fellowship has, like, built me back up. And I think it's important. Like, I just had this conversation at my group conscience this past last Friday. We were talking about, like, getting new people involved, you know what I mean? Because, like, we've had this, like, we have a halfway house in town, so, like, we have this rotating door of people that come in and out of the home group all the time. And, but, like, there's been a couple that have stayed, you know, and, like, those are the ones that, like, I just hang on to that, you know what I mean? Got some guys from the house that have, like, stayed and are now, like, secretary of the group and things like that, which is amazing. But I was like, you know what? We got to do more, like, get these guys involved, you know, so, you know, help, you know, encourage them to, like, make the coffee, ask them to make the coffee, show them how to, like, set up the literature, you know, explain to them, like, how important it is to be a greeter and make people feel welcome here, you know what I mean? And yeah, like, because that's, like, we have to do that as a group. You know what I mean? Like, it was done for me whenever I got here, and it's important, like, from time to time, I found it important to be, like, to, like, do, like, a inventory, you know what I mean? To, like, do an inventory of the group. But, like, is this an inviting group? You know, how are we, like, you know, if I was fresh or new, and I walk into this meeting, like, am I going to feel welcome? You know? And that's why I love this retreat, man. I love these events, because I always feel welcome here, you know what I mean? And I've talked to people from other areas who come around here, and they're like, man, you're fucking, your area is so welcoming, it's so loving, and I don't know, man, it's just, I love you people, you know, I really do, truly. Yeah, I think I'm rambling now, I'm just gonna shut up. So, thank you all for inviting me.
Thank you so much.